Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Well, the boys are back together. Brad Williams traveled back from San Fran to L.A. to rejoin me as a part of this fucking podcast. He's bailed on me to go take a radio gig up in the Bay Area, but he's back. And it was just like the old times, man. We got into it real quick. A lot of laughs, a lot of weird tangents, a lot of great stories. Brad's got these great stories about running into the very intelligent bums up in San Fran. We get into that. We get into some great stories about the road, some really interesting takes on George Clooney being single. And Danny Glover makes another special appearance on the ABLN podcast. It's just one of the best episodes I've gotten to have in a while. And Brad's back, and it's the best. A lot of other great episodes coming your way. Dane Cook, Melissa McCarthy, Rory Scovel, Gerard Carmichael, who's got a new HBO special coming out, as does Dane on Showtime. So really some fun episodes coming up. So make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Download it. Get it on your computer or the podcast app on your iPhone or Android, or using Stitcher, the Stitcher app. Also, you can stream all the episodes on aboutlastnightpodcast.com. And when you're there, click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping through the ABLN podcast website, because then we get a little kickback dollars from your purchases. Of course, follow Brad on Twitter at FunnyBrad. I'm on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. I'll be at the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego, October 16th through the 18th. And then a lot of other local dates in Los Angeles. On my website at AdamRayTV.com. Brad is off the road for a little bit while he continues to host Live 105 in San Fran. You can listen up there in the Bay Area to our little buddy every morning from 5 to 9 a.m. with Kevin Kline. Of course, continue to tell your friends and family about the podcast. Tell them to go to iTunes, download About Last Night, rate the podcast on iTunes as well. If you rate it and comment and give it a 5-star rating, that helps us to climb the podcast charts. That's it. Oh, we also have About Last Night merchandise coming so soon. Shirts, hats, hoodies. Really fucking pumped. We've got a dope designer in the Midwest who's really killing it for us. So be on the lookout. We're starting to post some of the leaked photos on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at Brad Williams Comic, at AdamRay33. Merch coming soon. Those are the tour dates. Those are the upcoming podcast guests. Those are the fucking Twitter handles. So now sit back and relax and enjoy this very, very special, hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with both hosts, Adam Ray and Brad Williams.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Wait, I didn't listen to the rest of the lyrics. It says my one boy cuddly toy. I'm not sure. Jesus. I'm cool with that.
Pick a different song quickly.
This is now this podcast has got to go a completely different direction that I was not anticipating.
Too soon.
But that's okay. I'll survive. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
You thought the podcast would die that Brad Williams left and went to San Francisco. But let me tell you, the About Last Night podcast, much like Hulkamania, will live forever.
Oh, God. Everything's a wrestling reference with you.
Well, sure.
Were you that kid in school that, like, compared everything to wrestling, too?
Yeah.
Like, when they were like, all right, guys, time to learn fractions. And you're like, fractions? You mean, like, five, how many times Hulk wins divided by the number of fucking She-Ra action figures.
I love looking at your head.
Stick
as the
my
gears
dick in because that's the size that I.
Oh, way more than five. Way more than five.
Yeah, I know nothing about wrestling. That's why I can't even come up with a
right. You can't even say like the number of members of the Hart Foundation, which everyone knows is obviously three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I was at a
or the tag team Demolition, also three. axe, just smash you, and crush.
You couldn't see how fast those names flew over my head. they were on fucking like, flying jets.
Yeah, sure. The heart found
ditch. Those references just flew over my head, going, "Who cares?" I did have a Hulk pillow growing up, though. Not a Hulk pillow, a Hulk. The stuffed animal.
Oh, the wrestling
see, that's
buddy.
See, I just called it a stuffed animal.
Yeah, you called it a human being, a stuffed animal. Well, granted, it wasn't a human being. It was a stuffed toy.
It was a grown man in a fucking unitard, and I slept with it.
Yeah, it's a wonder why you're not gay.
Well, many reasons. I think tits are just some of the greatest things that God has created for us.
Well, you think Hulk Hogan didn't have a nice pair? Have you seen those pectorals?
Oh, touche.
And the 27-inch pythons or 26? I don't know the
now,
exact stat.
As a wrestler, did they grow up being attracted to other, like, female? Like, were they only, like, just, like, they want to see the same muscles they have in the women that they...
Get
down and dirty with?
Like, I don't know. I think it changes for every guy, but...
Like, I just did this gig in Arizona, and we were next to a bodybuilding competition, and I was so curious.
Boy.
I was like, do bodybuilders only fuck other bodybuilders?
Well, because I think they appreciate...
They get it, also.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what to expect. You're not going to be thrown off by a...
By a 48-inch deltoid. I don't even know if that's the name of a muscle.
It is. What do you mean you don't know if it is?
I don't know if it is.
Do you know that little about the human body?
It sounded like a mint.
A deltoid?
Yeah, like, hey man, you got a deltoid? God. I got a date later on tonight.
Boy, the radio has just brought in these shitty mint puns to your act. Oh God.
Oh,
get back into stand up, Brad Williams, please.
Oh God, no kidding. Here's the thing that's weird coming from the world of stand up and then doing radio. For those of you who don't know, I do the morning show now on Live 105 in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is the first time Brad has been back to the About Last Night studios in
a month.
Jesus, which doesn't seem like that long, but hey man, when you're doing two podcasts a week, sometimes more.
Yeah.
And you're seeing your friend, you know, come up those stairs, which, you know, is a mountain.
Took a while.
Like, Brad, I buzzed you in 25 minutes ago.
I'm working on it.
What is the biggest difference?
The biggest difference is that whereas when we're doing this podcast, it's just we can obviously I can say shit, piss, fuck, cock, sucker, motherfucker, tits. I can say those words, and that's fine. But it's long form. We can discuss, and we could slowly get into other topics.
Yeah.
With
you can have an opinion and build it and see where it goes. Have your initial opinion and have it be shaped by your co-host or have it go down a direction because you're open to the possibility of tangents and other
scenarios. Absolutely. But on radio,
no. Keep it short.
No, we're doing like 5-minute breaks.
Everything you say better be funny.
It's coming with the hits.
Do you feel that pressure?
Yeah, it's coming with hits. All right, here's what it is. It's like it's like
coming with the hits. You've got to be the fucking Phil Collins of comedy radio.
You're Phil Collins, but you're only playing a 25-minute set. So it's like all hits.
Hits. Susu Studio.
Yeah.
Something happened on the way to heaven.
In the air tonight, you're doing it all. You're doing it all. You're the theme song from Tarzan. Yes. You're doing all the
hits. That's
what
you should have opened the podcast with, by the way.
Oh. You'll be in my heart. That one?
Oh, maybe you'll be in my heart.
Well, we actually sounded kind of decent there.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
I don't know. I think
drink five if you're playing at home when Brad and Adam harmonize to the Tarzan soundtrack.
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be doing stand-up podcasting and radio. Maybe we should be in a boy band.
Wow.
Me, you, Brent Morin.
What would it be called?
Oh.
Because, again...
Because
I have a bit about it. The best part about being in a band is naming the band.
Absolutely. Because then people have to like hold up signs.
Because if your music's good, it doesn't matter what you're called.
Doesn't matter.
That's what if the Beatles were the Beaners, you'd be like, well, that's kind of racist, but they're still. I'm still going to go see their show in Vegas because they're legends and they have every song is great.
Absolutely.
I want to get so famous that it's like, what would you name your boy band?
Oh, my God. Well, see.
Well, you're from the OC, so it'd be something like the Lizard Boys or you know, Stain of Existence.
Of Existence. That sounds like a metal band.
Yeah, you're right.
It's so weird because, like, my favorite boy band name of all time was...
a sentence that's never been said.
By you, maybe.
No,
I don't care.
No,
I say that every other day.
I joke. I will give you my favorite boy band name right after this.
My favorite was Take That.
Great call.
Which was...
What was their one hit?
I Want You Back. I want you back. I want you back for good. Wait, that one?
Whenever I said and whatever I did, I didn't mean it. I just want you back for good.
I want you back.
I want you back.
Want you back for good.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was a boy band? I thought that was a boy band.
A one-hit wonder. No, that was Robbie Williams. That was his boy band that he was in. Yeah, I'm a heterosexual male. Sure.
I didn't know Take That was in the boy band category.
It was in the boy band category. Now I might have to change my answer.
It's favorite boy band
one.
Song of all time is Abercrombie and Fitch by LFO.
Do we know what LFO stood for? I don't know. Laugh Factory? I'm looking it up right now. But yeah, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
Every lyric
Take
in that.
It if you had one wish.
Every lyric you think couldn't get weirder and crazier.
Yeah, it was like, I think.
New kids on the block get a bunch of hits. Chinese food makes me sick.
Oh, my God.
What?
They literally
just wrote that on the way to some gig.
Yeah.
That nobody was going to be at. And they were like, let's just sing this song, man. We need a song.
Yeah, and then my favorite lyric of that entire song, I forgot what the rhyme is, but he comes back with, Billy Shakespeare wrote a whole bunch of sonnets.
Yeah.
That it's like
at that point, they're just stating things that have happened in the world.
Yeah, it's like the Billy Joel song.
OJ drove a van down the freeway. Michael fucked a kid, did he? I don't know, but he was in court to defend if he did or not.
Get out. It stands for Light Funky Ones.
Oh, God.
LYTE.
Okay, well, LFO then is I'm glad they went down that path.
Yeah.
With the acronym.
Right.
Yeah, do you think they came up with a shitty name and then they're like, all right, let's give ourselves the option for an acronym? Or let's come up with the acronym, a dope acronym.
Who's the guy?
And then, like, let's define it, but, like, let's have it be something so bad that people like us will later discuss it on a podcast and go, thank God they went with the acronym.
I think that was their plan the entire time. They're like, one day, you don't know it yet.
Well, it worked.
But a Jew and a dwarf will come together, and they will chat over candles, and we want them to discuss our boy band name and have them do it with respect and a sense of longing.
See, this is what I hope to get to in the world as far as like technology goes, where we can start. I don't know if it has to involve us with a chip in our head or something, but where we can like have a graph. Like, I would love to know how many other times in my life I've had an LFO conversation right now, right? And in addition to that, I'd love to know how many LFO conversations have happened in the last week, have happened in the last month,
sure,
are happening right now, are about to happen.
Because
if the chip, and I think that's where the chip has to be in your head.
Yeah.
And this is some real stonery shit, but I haven't smoked pot in a month, so this is just my brain starting to really introduce itself to the world.
Oh, wow.
As far as what it's capable of.
Oh, my God. Your brain is like a baby deer trying to walk. This is nuts.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
see, it's staggering.
If we could see on that graph, like, who's about to talk about LFO? All right, you know what? Fuck you, Brad.
Wait, so what? Do then we drive by in a van, like old school style, and kidnap the
LFO conversationalist?
So it's like Minority Report, or we like zip in before the crime's about to be committed?
Wow.
Like we just come down and be like,
I love that it is a crime.
You were about to talk about LFO. I swear to God, I wasn't. And just start beating them with nightsticks.
We start beating them with posters of LFO.
Ooh, yeah, exactly.
Or Hulk pillows, or stuffed animals, as I call them. Hulk Hogan definitely fought some of my Fraggles when I was a kid. And guess what? The Fraggles always won.
Well, obviously.
Because they got a better theme song.
Yeah. That's arguable. I'll stand up for the Hulk Hogan entrance music.
Of course you will.
I have the Hulk Hogan
entrance music. Your fingers couldn't have typed quicker as you said that.
I'm going right to it. Are you kidding me?
All right. And then pull up the Fraggle theme song and we'll let the viewers decide.
Oh, I mean, there's no...
They're two different worlds. If you're going to enter to one song, it's obviously the Hulk song.
Yeah, you act like there's a contest.
But if you're going to lose in a stuffed animal fight, it's obviously the Fraggle song.
What the fuck is this? Here it is. By Rick Derringer. Yeah, that's who it is. Oh, who's getting fired up now? Yeah.
In this corner, we've got Red Fraggle. Oh, boy. Wait a minute. Are you sure this isn't the 1987 Pepsi commercial?
This is real American, you son of a bitch.
I see people biking in Venice. I see Mario Lopez in high blue cop jean shorts.
Makes sense.
Arresting somebody.
What, you think this is the theme song to Pacific Blue? I think that's our first Pacific Blue reference.
It does sound like that, though.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
Again, the graph. The graph would come in handy right now.
Yeah.
How many other Pacific Blue references are happening right now?
I mean, I think they're all going on within a 1-mile radius of said Mario Lopez. I I think they're all there.
All right. So back to you being in San Fran.
Yeah.
Because this is a big deal. You've been there for over a month.
Yeah.
Which is enough time, I think, in any new location to mm-hmm. well, not totally to settle in yet, but you feel settled because you just got all moved in.
Yeah.
And you have, like, I think a month of being on a schedule of where I'm texting you at 7:45 and you go, all right, man, I got to go to bed. And I'm like, what did you do with my friend Brad? This is 60 years from now, Brad, I'm texting with.
How weird is that when I text, hey, man, it's almost 8 o'clock. So
bedtime.
That's my bedtime.
But guess what?
Gonna watch my Matlock. Gonna eat my pudding.
Yeah, I got to put my teeth next to my table.
And then go to bed. But I do that because I wake up at 3:45 in the morning to do the radio
now,
show.
Now, I was curious about that because I would think, even if I have to leave for the airport at 5, I'll sometimes wake up at 4:50 because, and I'll just make sure everything's ready to go because I just don't want to get up.
Sure.
But I think the order you get, you're just like, all right, I want to have a little time. I don't want to be rushed. I need to have a little time. And I know that you don't like to be rushed.
No, I don't. And the fact, maybe if it was just me, I could wake up at 4:45.
Sure.
And because I live two blocks from the studio, so every morning I do a little brisk jog over there.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I do a little brisk jog.
We're running across the barren streets of San Francisco at 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody is driving by like, the apocalypse is here.
Oh, that has happened twice. Okay. Oh, all right. No. Twice. I have two stories about this.
All right, here we
One,
go.
I'm jogging in the studio, and there's a homeless guy at the bus stop, and he wakes up and sees me jogging by him and just says the words, you got to be fucking kidding me. That was
By
great.
The way, San Fran has great bums.
They have amazing bums.
Like, everyone is already so opinionated and politically driven and has sharp, like, stances on gay marriage and other stances that
bums,
I can't think of right now.
Yeah, bums are quoting you articles that they read in the Huffington Post. And you're like, how the fuck did you
like,
read
I've got
that?
Bum Weekly.
Yeah, I got Bum Weekly.
By the way, there was a bum newspaper in Seattle for a while.
It was a bum newspaper.
And I wish this was a joke because I'm setting myself up. I'm setting one of us up for a great joke title right now.
I'm looking this up.
I think it was called, like, just Google Seattle Bum Newspaper.
Oh, my God.
I think it was called, like...
What were the topics? What's new in meth?
Oh, I mean, that might have not been the front page story, but...
Sure.
It was probably, like, how to turn your shoe into a sandwich or...
Bum newspaper. Hold on. But, yeah, and then Seattle homeless newspaper.
Yeah, something changed. I think change was in it, right?
Yes, Real Change News.
Yeah.
Wait, that's fucked up to put change in the title of a homeless because they're always like, change? You got any change? Change? Now it's like, this is real change for you. You don't need that money.
Well, here's, you know what?
Real change.
I think they're also assuming that all bums can read, which, by the way, was a Judy Blume book that never got made.
right after Super Fudge. She's like, you know what?
Bums can read.
All bums can read.
Well, because she gave Super Fudge to homeless people as like a test.
Yeah.
That was how she previewed the series.
Real Change News. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Your bums were informed. They knew what was going on in the world.
So San Fran also some smart bums.
Yeah.
So you got to be fucking kidding me. And then do you turn around and acknowledge or you just keep running left?
I was cracking up.
Yeah.
And then the second time it was raining and I was running. So now you have a dwarf running in the rain.
Was it raining men?
Hallelujah.
Because it is San Fran.
You know what? Funny you say that.
How many homosexual jokes have you made just living there already?
I'll get back to the story. Okay. Don't worry about running in the rain, which I think was a Phil Collins deep track. But yeah, there's a ton of gay jokes, and you find out like how fast you don't. I mean, I bought this shirt from a market, like, and it's like the first piece of clothing that I bought in San Francisco. Put it on. I thought, yeah, that's a good-looking shirt. But didn't realize that when I raised my arms.
There was a giant cock on the back.
Yeah.
A silhouette of two men scissoring each other.
Well, sure. That's the style over there.
Do gay men scissor? Another Judy Blume book that never got made.
But, like, this shirt, when I raised my arms, the shirt went all the way up, like halfway up my belly.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't know that until I wore it out, like, out and about,
and
like, in the real world. And I was like, yeah, I'll reach up and get that.
Or Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, my God, really? I've been in San Francisco 2 weeks, and this shit has happened to me already?
Yeah, see, the city has a way of just giving you half teams.
Yeah, you're kind of like, all right, I can, you know, if
that's
I had to.
That's how you get acclimated, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what did you spot that it went halfway up, or did somebody kind of go, Brad?
My co-host
guy gave you a
show.
Oh, Kevin Klein?
Yeah, Kevin Klein, he just starts busting up laughing.
Oh, man.
And he's like, well, you're wearing a half tee. and first of all, he was amazed that a dwarf could find something too small. He's like, how does that even happen? That takes effort right there.
God, that's amazing.
So, yeah, there are parts of the culture that you assimilate to. Like, I'm obsessed now with sourdough bread. I eat it all the time now.
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, because that's I love sourdough bread, but
yeah,
just the fact that it's something that's been around for so long,
sure.
And it took you to move.
Yeah, it took me to move 300 miles away for me to go, you know what? I think they're on to something with this. I think this sourdough bread has a future.
What else have you discovered, man, who just got unfrozen?
Have you heard of this thing called Facebook?
Wait, what else, though?
It's going places. You just you're very open.
Well, also, you have more time. Let's be honest. You have more time. The fact that you're in a place all week and all weekend now, you have more time to experience life and the things that are in one place. Like, what are you doing when you wake up on Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Or actually, I mean, when you wake up on Friday morning.
Right.
And you're like, wow, I'm not in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
Going to do fucking Jimmy and Joey's 6 a.m. chuckle fuck.
Yeah.
You know, or what, you know,
which is a great radio show out there in Des Moines.
Yeah, quick shout out to Jimmy and Joey.
Much respect. It's weird to not have to be on a flight, to not have to do someone else's radio show. What's strange is when I have comics come now on my show, and now I'm the asshole radio guy.
Do you have some trepidations about being like, you're like, trust me, man, I'm not one of these guys yet. I'm still Brad. I'm just doing the gig.
Yeah.
Or do they look at you like, okay, look at you fucking going to the dark side. Do they say things like that?
Yeah. Fucking Marin. I talked to Marin at the Oddball Comedy Festival, and he is essentially staged an intervention, because my first question was hey, you're the guy who's pretty much trying to kill radio, with podcasting.
It's funny because that's how he started. Great.
Yeah, exactly. And then he told me, no, Brad, I'm not trying to kill radio. I'm just trying to get you back in stand-up. I'm not just trying to kill your
that's
job.
That's flattering, though.
It was.
Yeah.
And he was great. And
Saturday. You wake up Saturday morning. Now, is your body clock just getting you up at 3:45 still? Please tell me not. Oh,
it
God,
is.
Man.
I automatically wake up at 3:45. Even if I've been out drinking the night before and I go to bed at 1, I wake up 3:45. Granted, if I don't do radio, I can go back to sleep. But yeah, I still automatically wake up.
So the Brad Williams alarm clock is always going off at 3:45. And what happens when Brad Williams wakes up at 3:45? What's the first thing that happens?
Oh, first of all, I reevaluate every decision I've made in my entire life to get me to that point where I go, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
Do I really want to fucking do radio? So that happens.
No joke, that probably happens
every day.
Yeah.
Every day. But then once you get there, you start shooting the shit, and we have a great team.
And you have a great show.
You were listening?
I was lucky enough to be in San Jose
at
a wedding, and I was flying back, and I ended up staying an extra night, and I got to leave Monday morning and was driving at 7 a.m. and got to hear, and man, it was fucking awesome.
Well, good, man.
And even in the short amount of time I listened, you got jokes in, and you were funny, and you also were very comfortable. I didn't feel like I was listening to, like, I was curious to be like, all right, so, you know, it's Kevin's show, you're the co-host, but what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to pep, but like, you were as much a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know.
Yeah, and then we have another person on the show, Allie, and she's a local Bay Area lesbian, and you talk about the gay influence. We have a segment on our show called Today in Gay,
nice,
where she reads a gay story.
That's great.
Every day. So I'm a gay expert right now. I know which pocket to wear a yellow handkerchief in to make sure that guys don't fuck you.
Dude, that's like some superhero shit.
I know. I've cracked the code.
Wait, so the guys don't fuck you?
Yeah.
The color of the handkerchief.
Yeah.
And the pocket location.
Yeah, that shows like what you're into. Like if you're a top, if you're a bottom, if you're a twink, if you like a little BDSM. We do this other bit called Tinder or Grindr, where we flip a coin in the beginning of the week, and based
somebody
on
has to go on it.
Based on heads or tails, if it's heads, I go on Tinder for the week. If it's tails, I go on Grindr for the week.
And please tell me tails has come to the surface.
Three times. Okay. It's happened, right. And I've gone on three Grindr dates.
What?
Yeah, I go on actual dates.
Why did you not come into my apartment with that as your opening story?
By the way, I've been on three gay dates, Adam. What's up?
Now, okay, so many questions right now. I don't even want to know how it ended yet, because I want to leave something to jerk off to tonight. When you sit down, oh my God, is it like almost like where you're doing character research and you go, all right, if I'm going to do this right now, I'm going to imagine as if I'm gay and I'm going to select my match as if I want, or are you just going, hey, let's like spin the globe and just put my finger on a city?
That's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you sit down, you go,
oh, I let the guy know. I'm like, just so you know, I'm straight.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? I don't want to be a heartbreaker. You know,
All right. Well, don't flatter yourself.
Look at these fucking cheekbones
you're
in
right,
that ass.
In that
are you
ass.
Kidding
you're
me?
Right. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking. Yeah, you're right. You're a gay man's dream.
Way too much. Small hands. Everything looks bigger.
Now, actually, that's something I don't think I've ever even asked you before. Do you know? Like, we know we've got friends that are large men with beards, and in the gay community, there's something called guys who like. They're
bears.
Called bears, right?
Yeah. Bears.
And there's guys who really enjoy that.
Yeah.
On top or around or behind or whatever position you want to engage in. That's up to you. I'm not going to sit here on this podcast and tell you how to fuck a bear. But what is the dwarf for gay men? Is it like a
well like a cub? So you got bears and cubs. I don't know.
Like,
I've never heard the term.
I mean, we saw when Michael McDonald was here. He we were drinking or whatever, and he was very flirty and whatever. Mm-hmm. And but I didn't ask Mike afterwards. Like, do gay men have a thing for little people?
I think they do.
Okay, based on your experience.
Yeah, based on what I've experienced, not just in San Francisco, but just everywhere. I've had a couple guys. You know, it's that guy that comes up to you and like, hey, man, are you gay? And you're like, no, I'm not. But, it's cool, whatever. And you're like, are you sure? It's like,
I love that.
Pretty fucking sure.
As if they ask you what time your flight was and they're just trying to like.
Could you check your phone?
Yeah,
maybe your phone has some information
maybe
on there.
Maybe the boarding pass has changed. maybe the gate changed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's got to be a euphemism somehow.
It definitely
brain's racking. Yeah, there's definitely been guys that come up to me after shows and say things like that and try to convert. And it's flattering, and it is,
isn't it?
It actually makes me more sensitive to women, because when a guy is flirting with me that hard, I feel really bad that I'm not fucking him that night.
Oh my God.
I feel guilty. I'm like, what? But you were so nice to
you
me.
You were so nice.
Yeah, I feel like I should give you a little something.
Oh,
you know, a little
man.
Like little, you know, a little.
Wow. By the way, I love the placement of your hand job was so close. Brad just mime giving a hand job. A, did it super close to his mouth.
Oh, obviously.
B,
gotta tease him.
B, you have sound effects for your hand jobs.
Yeah.
As if these gay men needed more of a reason to feel bad about not getting one. You give sound effects as
well,
you jerk
them. Well, sure. I like to put on a show.
You haven't lost the performer in you.
No. Well, I've always got to do
that. Sam Friend might take your stand-up, but it will never take.
No. I don't know.
Have you done any stand-up up there yet?
Yeah. I also live... I live two blocks away from the CBS radio studios, and then I live a block away from the Punchline.
Wonderful.
In right there in downtown
my favorite
San Francisco.
Club up there. Maybe one of my favorite clubs on the planet.
Great club. I had never really done it, and then I popped in on a Sunday when they do open mic night.
Yeah.
And
which
wow.
is packed, by the way. They're open mic
packed.
The Sunday showcase.
Sold out.
Yeah, it's always
it's great.
We were talking to the booker about trying to get a show going up there where
and
I come
will.
Up, and we will. So if you're in the Bay Area, probably maybe in the new year.
Yeah.
We'll get a once a month or once every couple month show. But I approached with the idea of trying to do it on Sunday night, because that way I could be up there for the weekend or Saturday, even come in Sunday and leave Monday morning. And Molly, who books the Punchlines, who's the best, was like, this show has been around for like 20 plus years and it sells it all the time, and we can't really fuck with it.
No.
And I was like, I get that.
Yeah, that it is their institution. The locals show up and the talent up there.
Yeah.
There's some great comics in the Bay Area. Like, this is because we're used to open mic night. And when you hear the words open mic night, you think of bums coming in off the street and just like maybe like their closer is pissing on the audience.
Sure.
That's what.
Being like, you'll never believe what I just saw running across the street at 5 a.m. A fucking man, Willow's nephew was running across the street. In a fucking half tee.
Just teasing me with that ass.
Had a yellow handkerchief in the right pocket, so you know he's straight. But
it's an institution up there, and there's some great comics that do open mic night up there. So I popped in there a couple times. I popped into Cobb's, and there's just a fantastic comedy scene. There's a theater up in Marin County, which is across the Golden Gate Bridge. And that show's on Tuesdays.
That's where Robin Williams lived.
Yeah.
Right, and did all his shows.
That's where he did all his shows, and that's the place where I met him. And I actually did a Robin Williams tribute show up there with a comedian named Mark Pitta, who was a great friend of Robin's. And Jimmy J.J. Walker randomly shows up. So that was fun. I never met him before.
Ooh.
And then he just comes in, and he
How great was that?
It was weird, because it's like... That's a guy you kind of only seen on TV, and he's kind of a caricature, and he comes in, and that's fucking Jimmy J.J. Walker, and you just want him to say dynamite. Is it weird that you just want him to say dynamite? And I know it annoys the fuck out of him, but I still just want to hear him say it, and it's not going to change my life. It's not going to make it any better or worse, but I still just want him to say dynamite. Damn it, J.J.
I think he should say it, and I think that's part of his life now, so I think it's...
Yeah.
It's like saying, like, what would you say to Hulk?
Oh, well,
good brother.
Yeah, got to get a brother or a what you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Oh my God, that's his catchphrase.
Yeah, what you gonna do?
Just a question.
Yeah,
because, but I guess you say it in that
because he goes, and what you gonna do when these 24-inch pythons run wild on you?
So it's the setup for a whole.
Thing. It's a whole rant. And also the thing with the radio thing is joining Live 105, which has been in the Bay Area forever, there's a built-in audience, built-in connections. In my first week, they say, hey, Brad, you got an interview tomorrow on the show. And we say, okay, great. Who are we interviewing? And they say, oh, no, you ever heard this guy named Bono?
What?
I got to interview Bono.
What?
Yeah.
What did you – what?
Fucking Bono, dude. I got to interview him.
What did you... Wow, man.
And they just tell you, like, yeah, Bono's going to call in tomorrow. He's going to call in to the show. He's going to talk about the free album that he gave everybody. And you're just like, okay.
Did you start by going, okay. Well, Bono, first of all, I just want to say it's a beautiful day. And
I did.
And if I can be quite honest with you, I don't want to open up too much about my personal life, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And...
I did.
And then... And then One was a great song.
Okay. Just, you know. I have to admit.
You ever feel like you're stuck in a moment, Bono, that you can't get out of? Dude, you could have a whole conversation in song titles with Bono. You know?
Oh, my God.
We move in mysterious ways. Anyway, I'm sorry. Bono's here. We're out of time. You just fucking... You just close.
You just go throughout.
But I want to talk about my charity, Brad.
No, damn it. I need more YouTube references.
Yeah. Right, okay, so what was that like?
It was unbelievable because Bono...
Not live in studio.
No, okay. he wasn't live in studio.
But still, that's almost more nerve-wracking.
Because he's not in front of you, so you can't read him.
Yeah.
Like, you can't know if he got the joke that you did.
Oh,
like,
man.
And I was so tempted because... When he first made the connection, he couldn't exactly hear us. So he was like, hello, hello. And then I just wanted to scream out, hola, that's the Inferno. Like, I wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it.
Oh, my God.
But
your instincts.
Yeah, because you don't want to do that to the guy. So
yeah, you don't want to – because what if that just happened on an interview like 10 minutes prior and he told himself, I swear to God, if one more person fucking starts singing a song, hello, I'm hanging up.
If someone counts me in uno, dos, tres, catorce, I will take these lenses out of these glasses and stab them with them. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure because Bono's like, when you think of biggest rock stars on, I don't know.
I can't think
planet,
of a bigger one. Maybe Meatloaf.
Oh, obviously. I mean, he is.
Well, if we're talking about rock stars named after delicious delicious Hungry Man dinner choices.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's at the top of the list, unless there's a singer coming up named Salisbury Steak that we have no idea about.
That actually sounds like a great rapper name.
Yo, man, it's Salisbury Steak. All up in your grill.
Oh, shit.
Get it? Salisbury Steak's in your grill?
And what is he? And all he raps about are the rotating desserts that come into Hungry Man dinners. Yo, we got mashed potatoes and green beans. This shit
tastes like cherry jubilee.
Yeah. Which is what we got this week, but next week it's a tiny little brownie. And then next week,
what you gonna do, Salisbury Steak? When these 27-inch pythons run wild on you.
Wow.
Brother.
See, that's when Salisbury Steak then has gotten so big as a rapper that he's made the crossover into wrestling cameos and is now battling Hulk on his reality show, What You Gonna Do?
Where me, Hulk Hogan, play the music. Where me, Hulk Hogan, challenges rappers named after Hungry Man dinners in the ring for one night of glorious penetration.
What?
Hear me out. Not that kind of penetration. And yes, you can ask me questions during this ad for my show. The type of penetration that makes your mind explode and your ass sore.
Wait, what?
No, wait. Again, it's not that type. The type, the penetrating of the mind where... All right, I'm gonna fuck you, but it's only because I have a thing for rappers named after foods.
Why doesn't he have a reality show called What You Gonna Do? Are you kidding me?
We've come up with way too many great shows for B-list celebrities. And again, I would love to see the graph. I hate to call out that suggestion from earlier in the podcast, but I'd love to see a graph of how many times we come up with great shows.
Oh, my God.
Think of the show. I think we've come up with probably 8 to 10 shows for Mario Lopez to host.
Obviously.
Not like he needs another gig, but... Seacrest probably said that with Idol, and then they were like, do you want to host this? Yes. Yeah. Do you want to host that? Sure.
Do you want to produce a show about a bunch of Kardashians?
Oh, God. Speaking of big celebrity news, all right, it's a sad day for all women.
It is a sad day for all women today.
And Brad and I don't, and that's not because they stopped making tampons.
No, I believe they're still making them.
Would that be a sad day? I guess it probably would be.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you got to
be a horrible day for women.
Yeah, you got to come up with an alternate.
Obama just comes out and goes, "We found out that ISIS has cut off the tampon supply. We will not let this stand. We will go back and we will bomb the fuck out of them.
We will soak up the problem." And we will pull the string out.
And obviously Adam and I are two dudes, and so we always have the male perspective. But we're sensitive to
and
women.
We can appreciate when a sexy man is taken off the market.
Yeah.
And I think, as they say, the sexiest has been taken off the market.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to CNN.com, you'll see first of all, the big story and the big box when you first pull up, there's always a main story.
It says
North Korea missiles launched allies strike near Turkey. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Missiles striking foreign countries being listed.
That's a big deal.
That's worthy of a giant box.
Sure.
But in a box almost as big, just below Turkey air missile strikes.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney ties the knot.
Well, stop the presses.
Oh, my God.
We've got to talk about this. Dude, you were talking about it, Adam. You were talking about how you were going around Facebook, and like almost every girl is posting about this.
Well, I think most people get their news from Facebook now.
Yeah,
it's Facebook, like if you were to ask young kids, they don't know that we are involved. They don't even know what ISIS is. They're like, is that some new Slurpee flavor? Or is that like a disease I can get from giving a hand job fucking on a school bus?
Yes, you definitely can get ISIS.
But they get their – so it's like you ask like a ninth grader. You're like, hey, what do you know about the healthcare reform? You know, this is years ago. What do you know about that? And they're like, I don't know, but I can tell you that Christine just went from it's complicated to in a relationship. You're like, that's your news?
That's your news.
Deal with it.
That's
I'm big. 16.
Yep. That's what's important to me.
But I saw this being posted a lot on Facebook. I saw a lot of Derek Jeter updates, and I saw a lot of Clooney.
Wow.
And guess what? You assume the worst sometimes. when people just go like, oh no, or what, like one of my buddies got married last year, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I hadn't seen our mutual friend who, when I ran to him in Santa Monica, he goes, dude, did you hear about Alex? I go, oh shit, he's dead? Oh,
yeah, exactly.
I assume the worst. Yeah. I'm always going to assume the worst. He goes, no, dude, he's getting married. I go, well, shit, don't say it with the tone of he's dead.
Right.
Did you hear about Alex?
Yeah. Nobody's put a smile on your face or some higher pitch in your voice.
Hey, man, did you hear about Alex?
That's not my fault for assuming.
Yeah. Although, how fucked up would it be? He goes, hey, bro, did you hear about Alex? He fucking died.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. On the flip side, don't do that.
Maybe just do it opposites.
Who knows?
And then here's a great a moment of, again, friends who aren't comedians being comedians, which, Jerry Seinfeld, when you're done with comedians and cars getting coffee, do the show Friends Who Aren't Comedians Being Comedians. So I go, he goes, did you hear about Alex? I go, dude, he's fucking dead. He goes, no, man, he's getting married. And he goes, but same thing, right? I go, and then I go, this is why we don't hang out. Welcome back to This Is Why We Don't Hang Out.
Wow. So, that would be by the way, that would be a great reality show. All right,
this is why we don't hang out.
You follow two friends. One knows they're on the show. One doesn't know they're on a TV show. And then they're just having the conversation, and they do that one thing, and then all the walls fall over, and the hidden cameras run in, and he goes, this is why we don't hang out.
Oh, my God.
It's Howie Mandel. He hosts it, and he runs in. He's like, and this is why we don't hang out.
By the way, there's no quick way to make you feel shitty about, like, guess what? I don't care if you like ice cream or not. You're eating two tubs of Haagen-Dazs when you get home.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
you're sitting there. You think you're having a normal night.
Now, what happens in the show? Like, so let's, like, okay. you have to call out. You obviously have a list of the person's, like,
things that
you know,
they do.
They're buttons that you press to bring out their, like, neuroses or their, you know, their OC, whatever, you know, or you go to a restaurant where there's, you know, that they always get pissed when they don't refill your water every 10 minutes.
Right.
So, like, you make sure the waiter just never does, you know, you set them up to be their angry selves, the version that, you know.
And then once they hit that boiling point, that's when it all, now, how would you win money? Because you obviously got to win money. So
I think you just give him, if he stays, I think, the longer he stays in it and gets, you know what? This is a show on MTV called Boiling Points.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you're right. It absolutely is.
How do you win money?
Let's just take
the same criteria from the show that exists with a different name.
Well, we just became Hollywood producers, Adam Ray, because that's what they do.
Excuse me, Hollywood? We've got a show. Yeah, I know you've already got it, but we've got a show with a different name. But guess what? This Is Why We Don't Hang Out is a much better title than Boiling Points.
It really is. I like this as well.
And also, there's a personal
out.
Tie to it, because Boiling Points is with strangers.
Right.
This, you set up your friends.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what Theo Von's TBS deal with it is.
Okay, so maybe we're just biting off all of the shows that actually exist.
How about a show where four friends, and they're all friends, but the show's about nothing. And then a similar show where there's four friends all over the age of 70, and they're girls. Well, they're old women, but they're girls and hot.
And in their golden years.
And their golden years of being girls.
They're called Old Bitches. The show is called Old Bitches.
No, Golden Girls, or what's the...
Here's a show about seven people. They live in New York City. They're friends. They're all friends. They all meet at a coffee shop. We call the show Amigos.
Does it play in Spain?
Sure. Why not? Oh my God, dude. What's been going on with you while I've been up in the Bay Area?
Well, first of all, can we take a moment of silence for Clooney?
Oh, sure.
We brought it up, and now we're just not even giving any attention.
No, we got that. We got to raise that dick up to the rafters. We got to retire it.
All right, let's move on.
That's not even a medieval torture device. I'm saying
we got to raise that dick up to the rafters. Even in the medieval,
that comes on after This Is Why We Don't Hang Out. Raise that dick to the rafters.
No, you know what though? Even like that sounds like the punishment where they're like the king. They were like, yeah, your highness. We found the jester in the left wing of the dungeon with your princess daughter's friend. He's like, my lady Queen Elizabeth IV? Yes. What shall we do as a form of punishment to make him realize his wrongdoings? You know what to do.
raise his dick up to the rafters.
And then there's an angry mob that just goes, huzzah!
And then they tie him to one of those machines that they basically tie almost, you know, the same way when you were a kid and you had a loose tooth. Would your mom ever tie your tooth around
the
string?
Oh my God.
Door?
One time, yeah.
And they put it on the door handle and then they slam the door.
Yeah.
By the way, hey, let's just acknowledge how fucked up that is.
Barbaric.
Hey, your tooth is almost coming out. Instead of me just giving it an extra wiggle and doing it manually.
Sure.
Let's fucking tie your face to a doorknob and slam the door.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, we realize you're seven. It could thrust your body into the door at speeds that are probably unsafe for the tiny
You break the sound barrier when you're 3 feet away from the door and you slam into it.
You apply the same sort of procedure to raising that dick to the rafters. You tie the dick like it's a tooth. You attach the string to the top of the rafters. And like a catapult, you hit a button similar to those buttons like they have on the dunk tanks. Where if you throw a softball at the dunk tank, you have to, and so it turns into a game. They have to throw softballs at a button like a dunk tank, and if you get it right in the target, the guy's dick rips off and goes up to the rafters. All right, you know what? Non-pot Adam is fucking.
He's dark, man.
Yeah, man.
He's dark. Now would Danny Glover do commercials for Raise the Dick Up?
Hi, I'm Danny Glover. You been a bad boy this Christmas? I hope not too bad. If you have, don't worry, parents. We got a form of discipline that's better than Adrian Peterson's left hand. Too soon? Fuck it. I don't care. I ain't too old for this shit. But what I am too old for are kids who don't get disciplined the right way. I'm not talking about AP beatdowns. I'm not even talking about blowing some morning breath on the kid just to fucking get him up. Because you know morning breath smells like shit. And if there's one thing a kid has, it's a keen sense of smell. You blow some of that morning breath on your kid's face at 6:45 to get him up for school, they'll pop out of bed so quick like you just told them SpongeBob was making breakfast with a cast of Frozen. They'll pop up out of that bed so fucking excited. Anyway, if your kid, your son preferably, because your daughter don't have a dick yet, not with that attitude, you'll get your son, if he hasn't done his homework, you'll attach a string to his tiny little boy urethra, and you'll tie the other end to the top of a ceiling fan and hit go on your Danny Glover urethra pulling fucking dick up to the rafters t-shirt gun fucking catapult machine. And it'll kablooey that dick up into the ceiling, and you'll never see a B on your son's social studies report card again.
Available this Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Oh my god. That's too much. Yeah. Oh, I miss doing this fucking podcast.
Yeah, dude. It's good to have you back.
I miss saying fucking into a microphone.
Yeah, what are you? You're almost like when Drew Carey first got on the Price is Right. He was limited to his vocabulary.
Yeah, and I don't have a good one.
Now, riddle me this, Brad.
Okay.
You
is there a challenge?
You what are you doing on the weekends?
Wait, trying to get together, trying to make some shit. No. You know what? On the weekends right now, those are days I could actually sleep. First of all, Sundays are back, so what's up, football?
Wow.
And we were texting the other week the damn Broncos.
The Super Bowl rematch happened.
Oh, and
Brad
God.
Goes,
yeah.
We were texting, and then Brad just goes, by the way, today we aren't friends.
Yes.
And I go, yeah, I know, man. By the way, I just finished watching the Seahawks Super Bowl DVD to remind myself of the feelings that I'm going to be experiencing today. And hopefully you should do the same to remind yourself of the feelings that you experienced that day and will continue to experience today at 1:30.
And the gauntlet was thrown down. And for those of you who didn't watch the game, Seahawks pretty much dominated the game until the mighty Peyton Manning brings the Broncos roaring back for an amazing comeback, which I didn't think was even possible. I started texting Adam, well, good game, you won, oh well. And all of a sudden, Peyton says, not by my forehead, which comes on after raises dick to the rafters.
No. That's after All Bums Can Read. That was the third in the Judy Blume series. Bums Can Read. There's another one. Fuck. All right.
Not by my forehead. He comes roaring back, ties the game, sends it to overtime. All right.
By the way,
we got a football game.
That drive was incredible.
It was.
And did you think as a Peyton and Broncos fan that was going to happen?
No. I thought it was done.
Because guess what? Even Peyton Manning with a minute left, that's a giant obstacle.
That's huge.
That's not enough time. And how many timeouts?
None.
Yeah.
One?
No,
timeouts. You're like, yeah, it's over. And you haven't done that much against your defense all day. And then he runs by. And by the way, I'm watching this game in a Broncos bar. I found a Broncos bar in San Francisco that all the Broncos fans go to. So that's where I hang out on Sundays. And yeah.
That's awesome, by the way. Yeah. So that's one benefit of being at home on the weekend. Because now, hey, you got a spot. You build some camaraderie with those people.
We go every Sunday.
That's awesome.
We see the same people.
Because guess what? I remember being on the road with you one time when I first started opening for you, and we went to a Hooters to watch football.
Yeah.
And sure, we made some friends. Were they lifelong friends? Fuck no.
No, they were friends for about 7 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, that, so it's nice to go where people know your name.
Really?
What?
Really?
You know what? I've got an idea for a show where a guy goes to a bar. He works at a bar, and everyone who comes in are regulars.
Oh, we're just biting off everything. But yeah, it is cool.
We're
biting off everything.
You sound like the guy in the sales pitch room for the Crime Dog McGruff slogan
By the way,
creation.
Why isn't Crime Dog...
What can
Dog-
he say? We're biting off everything? How about he takes a bite out of crime? How about he's biting off everything? Well, because he's only biting off one thing. Yeah, but crime's everywhere, so he can be biting off everything.
Yeah.
Everything implies everything, not just crime.
How come McGruff isn't doing copyright law? Don't bite off of everything. Come on. It's perfect.
Take a bite out of everything. But, then that implies everything. Even
That's true.
Even like, you know... Chocolate dildos.
Yeah, obviously.
Speaking of
chocolate dildos. I'm on beta bread for this fucking segue.
Speaking of animal spokesman.
Okay.
Animal spokesman, by the way, is playing at the Troubadour Saturday.
Solid.
After bands named after Hungry Man dinners.
Yes.
After Salisbury Steak.
After Salisbury Steak.
So Animal Spokesman.
Solid
Crime
opening.
Dog McGruff and Smokey the Bear. I saw a Smokey the Bear commercial 2 nights ago.
Okay.
And I didn't know they were still airing those, by the way. And he's looking at me. He's like, you know, he looks right at you.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can prevent. And, you know, maybe I was smoking a joint and I was like, hey, take it easy, motherfucker. I'm not even near a forest right now.
Right. This is just West Hollywood.
This is a tiny little flame. Is that a Jewish joke? Are you commenting on the amount of hair I have on my legs? Like, is that.
Wait, what?
So then I.
Where are you going with this, Adam Ray?
Well, here's what I started thinking about.
Okay.
Smokey's looking right at me. Only you can prevent forest fires.
Right.
Only you can prevent them. I'm like, hey, dude, you live there. Why don't you fucking stick to your territory, man? This is your world. I don't come into the woods and go, hey, Smokey, man, you mind giving us a hand with this teen pregnancy problem, man? There's a lot of sluts who can't keep it in their pants in the eighth grade. Can you come maybe speak at the schools? No, dude. You do forest fires.
You do that.
Yeah.
We got enough problems here in the cities. All right. I like where you're going with that.
Well, here's my thing about all the teen pregnancies happening.
You know what? I'm glad because I know our listeners. We're just going, yeah, we've heard some great fake band names and some false reality shows, but what are Adam Ray's views on teen pregnancies?
Well, I'll give it to you. And here's my segue all for right, this. You know why? I babysat my nieces in Seattle for a week. You were curious what was going on with me.
Wait, teen pregnancies? Your nieces are four?
They're five, motherfucker.
Five. Okay,
they're still 2 or 3 years away from having to deal with these... Yeah, you laugh. I don't laugh because it's not funny.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, man.
Unfortunately.
They just started kindergarten, and they're starting to, like, notice boys and tell me, you know, this guy gave me his fruit roll-up. I'm like, that's code for he wants to put his fingers inside you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Fruit roll-up. Speaking of graphs and charts, we should make a whole snack equals this sexual move for kids. He gave me his handy snack. Yeah, because he wants his own handy snack in return.
Yeah, I don't even want to know what Chips Ahoy is for.
Well, that's just racist.
That's true. Sorry about that. I owe the entire African-American community an apology after that one.
That would be a great press conference.
Sorry I referenced Chips Ahoy. Obviously, I wasn't sensitive to your issues.
The one bum is there being like, I told you he was racist. Running across the street to a Klan meeting that morning. So I babysat him for a week. And remember, I even tagged you in an Instagram video during the football game of one of my nieces talking shit to you.
Yeah, which was hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, it was great.
Because, like, I was pissed, but it's a five-year-old talking shit to you. So you're like, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
It worked out.
Babysitting them, holy shit, man. That was I just want to say, all you single moms out there that are winos, I get it.
Yeah.
Drink away.
Yeah.
That's what you get to do from being a single mom. You get that. That's single dads get to be on Tinder or Grindr, and single moms get to get fucked up on wine.
Yeah.
Because it's exhausting watching kids. All I was doing was preventing them from doing stuff. It was like, get off that slide. It's too high. Get off, you know, stop, put down those scissors. They're too sharp. You know, get off my laptop. You're going to accidentally delete some of my porn. It's just like everything. I was just like, don't do that. I don't want you to like hurt yourselves or be in a situation. I'm trying to stop you from being in a situation that you don't realize is dangerous.
Yeah. And let's listeners know you weren't babysitting for a night. You were, you know, or a couple hours. I was
Mr. Mom for a week.
For a week.
Yeah, dude. Waking them up at 6:45, taking them to get them dressed, feeding them, taking them to kindergarten.
Yeah.
Making them egos, making them eggs, making them kicks.
That's the extent of your cooking?
Fuck you, Brad Williams. By the way, making them kicks, I didn't just open a box and pour them. I made kick cereal from scratch.
Wait, what?
All right. I didn't do that.
All right.
That's all they want. What do you think they want? Like, full course, do you think they're asking me for, like, you
chicken
know,
a la Brad? was that for a four podcasts ago callback? Wow. So you were you had
driving them to school and then picking them up and then spending the whole day with them and then you know there's no homework at that age. I asked them every day if there was homework. One day I did have to do one of my teachers had the class pet. Right? Did you ever have a class pet where you had to bring home
like
the animal
like hamster or something?
Yeah, but guess what? Now they're stuffed animals. She had a stuffed raccoon because I think they're like all right, real animals is
probably scary.
Yeah,
and like there's lawsuits.
Yeah, and so. There's lice and there's rabies and
sure.
you know. Raccoon herpes. So
which she brings, which is also the troubadour. Raccoon herpes. They got a killer metal sound.
Yeah. They cover every Alanis Morissette song in the books.
Perfect.
And it's funny. Alanis is actually afraid of raccoons. Isn't that ironic? So
I hate you.
So I pick them up. And I go, "What'd you guys do today?" And of course, part of me wants to be like, "All right, I know. I understand kindergarten's not a year of schooling. It's going to help shape them into who they are."
Yeah.
But you want to think this day and age that they're having a productive enough day,
sure,
so they're being engaged in activities that are helping to add to their personality and whatever. I go, "What'd you guys do?
Mm-hmm.
We drew butterflies. That's it.
It's like,
yep,
4 hours.
I dropped you off at 8:30. It's 3:30. What the fuck's going on over there?" Then what did you do? We ate a corn dog. Then what? Blue bubbles. So kindergarten is butterflies, bubbles, and corn dogs? Oh, my. That's fucking what the fuck is going on?
Well, they're
good thing your teacher's kind of hot.
Yeah, like you said, you don't want them to be – you don't want to be like, "What'd you do today?" You don't want your five-year-old niece to be like, "Advanced calculus, Uncle Adam."
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Because then I hit the panic button because then it's like, "Oh, great. Now that's what I have to assist with."
Right.
Calculus? Like, I'm dreading that day. Come on, man. Oh. Think about the amount of shit you don't know that is soon – you're going to have to soon be Googling to refresh – your memory so that you can not feel like an inadequate piece of shit.
You know what? They should make a movie about a person our age, a man that goes back to school and repeats grades 1 through 12.
Well, who would play the kid?
I mean,
who would play the man child that goes back to school?
Well, for a man child, you got to have someone with like a squeaky voice. So probably like an Adam Sandler type movie.
Oh,
and he goes back to school and we call it and we call the movie Alan Rickman. The actor. Yeah. It's biography, but
Alan Rickman hasn't had a movie named after him in years.
That's a tragedy.
Not since the Alan Rickman story.
But I was so like I enjoyed texting
impressed
with you
by the
that.
Amount of responsibility.
Yeah, you were being a fucking dad.
Dude, I was in bed by 10:30, even though I still wouldn't fall asleep till 12:30 or 1.
Sure.
Because
you knew you had to get up at 6 to wake them up. And you have to be alert because you can't be groggy.
Also, and I want to be fun. Like, and quite honestly, it was 90% fun, 10% work because my nieces are just – 5 is a great age. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed being around them. And I love also, too, that, you know, because they're – real dad, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm not going to curse you out on this podcast, but I will extend a hand and say, "Hey, man,
step up,
insert yourself back into their world because you're missing out."
Yeah,
and I'm getting to reap the benefits of fucking cool ass people that that are going to grow up to be cool ass people. And so, I feel fortunate to be able to at least be in their lives and be that. Also, I know what Uncle Adam brings to the table. I bring a lot more fun than any of the other dudes. My sister's boyfriend is a great dude.
Yeah.
My stepdad's a great dude. But real dad's a great dude. But guess what?
Grandpa's... Does he have a 10-minute chunk about kicks? No, he does not.
Does he put on their princess hats and scarves and pretend to be Prince Charming in drag?
You know what?
Does he know every song in Frozen and sing it? Will he get on the ground and help them build their Lego fortress?
I don't know, but
will he spend 9 hours at the park with them?
Back to you dressing up in drag. When you come visit me in San Francisco, you're going to blend right in, buddy.
Hey, man.
You're going to be right in.
Handkerchief in the left pocket.
There you go. You're down.
Isn't there the same thing with the earring, too? Like the earring, if the earring is in the right ear, it means...
That was something that... I think that was like an urban legend when we were kids. I think if like you put...
Wait a minute.
I think if
urban
like you put...
Urban legend?
Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and stop your definition of urban legend.
I think that's
urban
what it was.
Urban legend is something like, did you hear the boogeyman lives behind Old Man Winter's house? He comes out every Halloween at 6:30 and fucking sticks Kit Kats in kids' assholes.
Yeah, you know, well...
That's an urban legend.
Only if you got the earring in the right ear. If the boogeyman has the earring in the left ear, then the Kit Kat goes in your mouth instead of your asshole.
What's that?
That's good, boogeyman.
By the way, that's good, boogeyman. Wait a minute. Please just say that again because I'm going to add music in post. That's a commercial for Kick-Ass.
That's good, boogeyman.
No,
no, God, not that.
You said if your thing's in the right ear, you put the Kick-Ass in your asshole. If it's in the left, you put it in your mouth. That's good, boogeyman. Just say that again for me.
No
please.
Problem. All right. We will edit this in post. Yeah. Well, when the boogeyman comes out and he has an earring in his right ear, I can't say.
Just start with if the boogeyman
has an earring in his right ear, that means he's going to put Kit Kats in your asshole. If he's got it in his left ear, that means he's going to put it in your mouth. Kit Kat, the one for you.
That's good, boogeyman.
That's good, boogeyman.
And then the button in the commercial is it cuts to the kid opening the door and he goes, trick or treat, and it's a boogeyman, and he just smiles real big.
Oh, my God. This is too much.
This is fucked up.
I have to leave. I have to get to my dad's 70th birthday party on a party boat because that's how my dad
it's
rolls.
It's on a party boat?
It's on a party boat,
fuck
my friend.
Yeah, dude.
So I'm gonna
is your dad going to drink?
Hell yeah, he's going to drink.
He's a drinker, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to drink?
Probably.
Yeah.
There's going to be a drunk dwarf on a boat.
I don't think you're going to make it out to the show tonight.
Probably not.
No, and I don't think you should. I think you should stay down there as long as possible.
Yeah.
That's a one-time deal.
But, yeah, I'm going to go do that, go have some fun. Adam is about to do a show, and he's about to kill it, and we're going to keep doing these. And don't worry, like I said, the podcast will go on.
Yeah.
I go away for a little bit to do my show, but I'm always coming back. Adam's going to go to San Francisco every now and then. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah, we're doing it in on October 15th. To do our buddy Gerard Carmichael, who's going to be up there. And his HBO special comes out on October 4th, which you should definitely watch because then we'll talk to him about it. We're going to have Steve Byrne from Sullivan and Son on. And tomorrow, actually, we're going to record Dane Cook for episode number 2 of his appearance on the show because his new special, Troublemaker, is coming out October 17th on Showtime.
Look at that. And I think there's a guest in November?
Yeah, November 10th. I'm not sure the date, but
are we allowed to talk about it yet?
She was in The Heat. She was in Bridesmaids. She's on a show called Mike and Molly. Her name rhymes with Bafissa McCarthy.
Sure.
And
I still don't know who
and
it is.
And she is confirmed.
Yeah.
We have a date, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
So go to iTunes and download and subscribe the show. Get it on aboutlastnightpodcast.com. When you're there, click on the Amazon banner and do some shopping through there. And check out our websites for tour dates. We're going to start popping up more and more. I'll be at the Madhouse Comedy Club October 16th, 17th, and 18th in San Diego, California. Get tickets at AdamRayTV.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad.
There it is.
Keep rating and subscribing and commenting on the podcast on iTunes because that helps us climb the charts. And, man, good to...
good to be back, my friend.
Good to be back.
Good to be back.
I thought you were going to play us out with some Phil Collins, You'll Be in My Heart.
Oh, shit. Well, you should have.
It's too late. Do you have anything queued up?
Hold on.
I mean, even though I did create an outro song for the podcast, so I guess that'll play.
You did. What the fuck am I going to do with this? Okay.
Oh, God. Goo Goo Dolls.
I like that you got it in 3 notes. There was no hesitation. There was nothing.
That was my oh God because of your song choice or because I knew I was going to know what it was? Because
you knew. You're like,
and asking my friend in me, try to take my skin. You know what? Now, here's what this song is for.
What's that?
Bitter days. Wait, keep playing it.
Okay.
This song is in, definitely the emotional sentiments of this song are how joyous and glad my heart is filled with. Hey, you know what? Poetry was not my strong suit. But
Maya Angelou, you are not.
I'm like the Yoda of shitty poetry. No, having you back to do the show is the fucking best. But also, I've seen better days. The Goo Goo Dolls are singing about it. But guess what? Every woman in the world is singing better days because, hey, rest in peace, George Clooney's single days. Because tonight, George Clooney's only fucking one woman forever.
It's a sad day. Come back to us, George.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.